God wants you to speak faith. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Speak Faith Netcast. And I trust you are ready for this edition of the Speak Faith Netcast. We are excited about what God is doing amongst us. Hallelujah. You know, God is flowing. He is moving. The Spirit of God is at work. And I tell you what, I'm excited about what we have down the road with some of these meetings we've got coming up. I'll tell you what, we got a meeting coming up with Dr. Jesse Duplantis, the Word of Faith Radio Rally. WOFR.org, Word of Faith Radio. That rally is coming September the 15th, and that is going to be in Concord, North Carolina. And I tell you what, you need to make plans now to attend this very special meeting with Dr. Jesse Duplantis. Boy, that's going to be exciting. I'm going to be there. I'll see you there. Praise the Lord. We got some really cool things today we want to share with you. And that is the Word of God as it was taught at Faith and Victory Church, a message that I taught on the mercies. Notice it says mercies in the title of God. There are multiple mercies of God. And we're going to get right into that teaching right now. All righty. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. I figure 10 after the hour is a good spot. So we'll go ahead and pray and get into the Word here tonight. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and receive from your Word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church. We just give him complete and free leave to just take his liberty and guide us and direct us in the ways that he would have us go here tonight in the Word of God. We thank you for it. We thank you for revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. Well, we'll receive the offering at the end of the meeting, but I want to just dive right into this. I've been meditating on this for quite some time, and I'm just jazzed. I'm ready to roll. So we're going to talk about God's mercies. And I tell you what, this is a powerful, powerful topic. Covers a lot of things. We're going to hit a few high spots, but we're going to kind of major in the area of God's healing mercy. But God has mercy in every area, so we're going to talk about a lot of those. Let's go to Psalm 136 to start. Psalm 136 has a lot to say about the mercy of God. And before, as you're looking that up, as you're getting there, let me just give you a quick, brief definition of mercy. Mercy is something that we get from God that is totally undeserved, obviously. Being born again. In and of ourselves, personally, individually, we don't deserve to be born again. But Jesus came, praise the Lord, and through his mercy, he offered himself a sacrifice, and we took upon ourselves his righteousness when he took upon himself our sin. And so that mercy of salvation is available to us. I don't know that we've ever really thought so much about salvation being a mercy, but really it is, because mercy, as I said, is undeserved. I like what I heard Keith Moore say. I love to listen to Keith Moore, excellent teacher of the Word. And he said one time, this is kind of a paraphrase of what he said, if everybody did everything just right, they could get by on justice. Now think about that. If everybody was living a sinless life, if everybody was walking by faith perfectly, if everybody was doing everything the Word of God said all the time, we could get by on justice. But if we fall short, and I don't know about you, but I qualify for falling short, Then we need to rely on His mercy. All right? We need the mercy of God. That is an important thing for us. Now, we still need to live right. We still need to do what the Word of God says. You know, I'm not laying aside any of that. But I just have never been able to toe the line absolutely perfectly every moment of every day, all the time, period. So there have been times I need the mercy of God. And sometimes we just do dumb things. Now, again, Keith Moore, he tells this story, and I love this story. He said that he was very young in the Lord and was just beginning to get into the Word of Faith message and just beginning to hear that we ought to prosper and just beginning to kind of get into that. He got into this thing of, well, you know, we need to look prosperous, and so we need a new washing machine, and we need a new this, and we need... And he ran it all up on credit cards. He got the new stuff, but he wasn't wise about it. And he finally even got into trouble with his taxes. He got to the point that he owed $40,000 in taxes. So he said he went to the Lord, and he said, I stuck my nose in the carpet. And I said, Lord, I've been dumb. You're looking at me. I'm dumb. I'm sorry. I repent. I require your mercy because I haven't done it correctly. I haven't lived according to the Word with regard to my finances. I've gone out beyond what I should have done financially, so forth. So he said, I'm believing for your mercy. And so some little bit of time went by, and he was talking to a guy at church. And the guy mentioned to him something about his own personal taxes. And Brother Keith just made the comment, Brother, I know what you mean. That's all he said. He didn't go into any detail. He didn't say, I owe my taxes. He just said, Brother, I know what you mean. And then they said their goodbyes and parted. And they, you know, left. And a little bit later, as Brother Keith was praying this about praying for the mercy of God concerning his finances, this brother calls him up and says, Brother Keith, how much do you owe on your taxes? And Keith said, Well, brother, I wouldn't say anything to get you to do anything. He said, No, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Really, seriously, how much do you owe? He says, Well, I hate to admit it, but $40,000. And this brother, who was well off, this brother said, Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The Lord spoke to me and said to give you $1,000 a month to pay on your taxes. And he said, Now, let me tell you what I did, Brother Keith said. He said, Let me tell you what I did. I took that $1,000 as soon as it came in, and I put that on my taxes. The money would come in, and I'd put it on my taxes. He said, It you know, kind of like Pastor talking about the money, you know, he said, it didn't even see the bank. It just went right through. And in 40 months, sure enough, paid his taxes off. And he said, I love the mercy of God. He said, I was dumb. He said, we shouldn't be dumb. But when we're dumb, we can call on the mercy of God. And he said, now here's the thing. If you were to do that, in all honesty and sincerity, and the Lord does begin to bless you, get you out of trouble, and then you get back in trouble. He said, you know, you can't just keep calling on mercy and be dumb. At some point, you're going to have to wise up. But he'll still get you out of trouble. So anyway, I like that story. I particularly like the fact that he said, I just stuck my nose in the carpet. I can just see that. He said, I stuck my nose in the carpet and I just asked God for mercy. Well, anyway, hopefully you found Psalm 136 now. Let's look at verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. And then, of course, this psalm is full of his mercy endureth forever all the way through it. But let's look at verse 26 of that psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God's mercy endures forever.
Yes.
I am thankful for his mercies. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you to see. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Now notice the plural. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Well, I want you to think about all the areas that God is merciful. He is merciful with regard to salvation. He's merciful with regard to healing. There are healing mercies. He's merciful with regard to finance. All the things that God has promised us, Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. Okay? He was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He bore upon himself sickness and disease, our sickness and disease. So we no longer have to bear it. We can be healed through the mercies of God. So all of these are different mercies that God has given us. And of course, there's so many mercies that God has given us. But those are the things I want us to kind of tune in on here. The Father of mercies. And then I just want to share a couple little quick sort of testimonies, illustrations of mercy in action. Just to give you a little background, my dad, praise the Lord, he was a tremendous gentleman, and he was quite a character. He'd tell you, in no uncertain terms, that he was indeed a character, okay? He liked to wear loud clothes. I mean, to church. He would wear striped ties with polka dot shirts. He would wear bright orange coats with blue shirts. I mean, it was just crazy looking stuff. And I'd go, Dad, I mean, as a kid, I was embarrassed because his clothes were always so wild. But he liked being wild. He liked being colorful. He was a gunner's mate in the Navy. And he was, in those days, a bit of a rough character. But, you know, he's raised on a Southern Baptist orphanage. But he told me stories of some of the things that he encountered while he was in the Navy. And I had to kind of bat my eyes and go, whoa, some of the stuff he ran into. He told me, I'll give you a quick one right quick. He told me one time they laid over in, I think it was New York, and he was in New York, and this guy came up to him and started propositioning him. And Dad took his pocket knife and got the blade in between his hands and says, if you come at me, I'll cut you. And he meant it. He would have done it. But needless to say, the guy backed off. But anyway, that's my dad. He was quite a character. But he loved the Lord. He was raised again Southern Baptist. I mean, about as Southern Baptist as you could get. Like I said, he was raised on a Southern Baptist orphanage. And after he left the service, he had service-connected disability. He had rheumatic fever while he was on ship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. He was on the USS Roe. And the only guy they had there was not a doctor. He was a pharmacist mate. And he didn't know. All he knew is Dad had a fever. And so he had him lay down. Well, he didn't give him but a couple of days. He said, you ought to be up and out of here, and put him back to work, swabbing the deck and the whole thing. And that caused a problem in his mitral valve in his heart because it was rheumatic fever is what he had. He should have been on his back for weeks and weeks and weeks resting, but instead he had this problem. And it was service-connected disability, so he ended up with disability after, you know, he came home. But he went to work as a shoe repairman back at the orphanage. And so, like I said, there's just tons of stories I could tell about my dad. He was a character. But he liked to teach Sunday school. Taught the adult Sunday school class at First Baptist Church in Denton. And needless to say, it was quite a deal when I went to a Full Gospel Business Men's Convention in 1973, November the 10th, 1973, in Raleigh, North Carolina. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. And I come home, hallelujah, and I preach at the First Baptist Church because I used to teach there a lot. And I asked the pastor, I said, can I teach Sunday night? He said, oh, sure, Brother Bill, come on. So I get up and teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And the pastor is in the background going, you know. And then he got up next week and taught about how it was all of the devil. And, you know, I was a high school kid. What did I know? I didn't know that I was, you know, plowing his field the wrong way. I mean, I just didn't know, you know. So anyway, So I received baptism of the Holy Ghost, went on to get into the Word of God, heard tons of faith teaching by Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Charles Capps, on and on. And so I got on the radio. I started teaching the Word. Well, Dad listened to my radio program every day, and he just listened. And he'd scratch his head, and he'd go, I just don't know about this. I don't get this. And he told me one day, he says, because, you know, he had this problem with his mitral valve, and he was a diabetic, and he was in and out of the VA hospital all the time. And he told me one day, he says, well, I don't know. He says, I just don't have faith like you do. I just don't get this healing stuff, and I don't understand this stuff. I'll probably never believe like you do. But I'm proud of you for preaching. And so I thought, well, praise the Lord, you know. So he ended up one time in a hospital, and he was in really bad shape. Doctors didn't give him much chance for surviving the night. And I went to pray. Well, at that time, I guess I had been in the Word of Faith message for maybe 5 to 7 years at that point. And so I honestly didn't know how to pray for Dad, because he was a believer. He had a, how can I put this? He had a natural affinity for faith without knowing he was doing it, if that makes any sense. Because, for instance, tell you what he did. He went up on the hill behind our house at the lake, and he owned just the property down on the lakefront. And there was property behind him, 6 acres of land, and he really wanted that 6 acres of land. So he would walk around that property, and he'd say, if I had this land, I'd do this. If I had this land, I'd do that. And he just would walk around it and talk about it. Walk around it and talk about it. When I get this land, I'm going to do this. The next door neighbor that owned the land came one day and said, Mr. Bailey, I see you out there walking the property. What you doing? He said, I love this property. If I had it, I would build a log cabin up here, and I'd do this and I'd do that. Time goes by. Guy comes back and says, Mr. Bailey, I'm just going to give you that property. Wow. Gave him 6 acres. That was adjacent to his land there on the lake for free. So, I mean, he knew something about operating by faith without knowing he knew about operating in faith. Did you see what I'm saying? He was a tither, absolutely believed in tithing. He had a message he taught at his church himself on tithing, and he would always bring in. He loved coins. He had a lot of coin collections. And he had 10 silver dollars, the big, thick silver dollars that were the original minted ones. And he would stack them up on the podium there at the platform, and he'd be teaching about tithing. And he'd come over and he'd take the top one off, and he'd say, that is all God asks. The rest of it you can keep. And it was such a great illustration, because it was like, that's it. That's all he's asking. And that's the rest of it's yours. And everybody would, wow, that's great. And, you know, but he would do that message every so often. So he knew a lot about the Word. Kind of he knew what he knew. Let's put it that way. So anyway, I end up going to the hospital, and I'm praying as I go, praying in the Holy Ghost. Lord, what am I going to pray? I don't know what to pray. And the Lord said, I want you to pray Jude 1:2. Well, I didn't know what Jude 1:2 was. I mean, I'd read it probably before, but it did not pop into my mind freely. So let's look at Jude 1:2. Jude 1:2 says, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I mean, it was down in my spirit. I'm not saying I heard an audible voice, but down in my spirit, I heard him say, pray that my mercy would be multiplied to him. Because he wasn't standing on the Word. He wasn't making good confessions. Matter of fact, he was making some really bad confessions. You know, if I go out of here, at least the Lord will knock me in the head and take me home. I mean, he was making all these kinds of confessions. So I go in and I just prayed, Lord, I just pray that your mercy be multiplied. I didn't know what else to pray, and that's what the Lord told me to pray. Well, amazingly enough, he came out of the hospital. Now, you know, he didn't get miraculously healed. He just got better and better and better until they let him come home. And his confession, I said about him, Lord, knock him to the head. This is the kind of guy he was. His whole life he confessed. Listen to this now. His whole life he confessed, when the Lord's ready, he'll just knock me in the head in the middle of the night and I'll go home in my sleep. He just always said that. I don't know why. So one night he went to work up in his shop. He used to like to make canes, and he would carve those canes, and he'd carve Indian heads on the top, and he'd do all these different things. And he was working with his canes. He always then would come down from the shop, which was up on top of the hill. He'd walk down. He'd sit in his chair. He had a big easy chair. He'd sit in his chair, and he'd watch Johnny Carson. I don't know why, but he just loved to watch Johnny Carson. So he watched Johnny Carson. He then went to bed and then passed away in his sleep. Exactly like he said he wanted to go. Now, I was preaching a meeting, because this was, at the time I was pastoring a church in Salisbury. I was teaching, traveling and teaching, a lot of different conventions, Piedmont Believers Convention, going to churches and preaching and so forth. And I was preaching in the Piedmont Believers Convention in Winston. And my buddy, who's also a pastor, Gary Price, came and got me and said, we need to go to the Thomasville Hospital. Your dad's in the hospital. Well, he didn't tell me that he'd already died. He just took me to the hospital. Well, I get there and find out that sure enough, he'd passed away to sleep. They just took him there. So, long story short, while I was praying for him, the Lord showed me about believing that mercy be multiplied. In a situation where I knew for a fact that Dad didn't know how to believe God for his own healing. Okay? So one of the reasons I wanted to share this is to give you a couple of examples of where praying for the mercy of God to be multiplied and to be manifest just works. Oh, hallelujah, it works. Good example of what happened just very recently. You probably heard this. Belinda's father had been getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, he was at his house. He was on his way to the bathroom, passed out. And when he passed out, he hit some chairs and busted up his face. He's all bruised up, swelled up and so forth. They took him to the hospital, put him in the hospital. Well, his kidneys had been failing. So his kidneys were basically failing worse. And his heart was worse, and everything was looking bad. Even his blood had got down to where it looked like straw water. It was just like clear with just a little tint to it. And the doctors said, okay, call the family. He may not make it through the night. I mean, it was bad. We had just been there the weekend before to the family reunion, and he was in a wheelchair. He was there. He looked actually pretty good. He had to have oxygen and the whole nine yards, but he still looked pretty good for where he had been recently. But he fell. All this happened. He goes to the hospital. They basically say he's not going to make it through the night. Call everybody. Well, we dropped everything and drove up there. When we get up there, the whole family, now it's either 11 or 12 kids in the family. Oh, wow. Big family. And they're all in there, and they're all standing around the bed, woe is us, and they're crying, and woe is us, and everything. Well, I come in, me and Belinda, Bonnie, and I all went up together. And the whole way up there, we're talking the word to each other. And we're encouraging one another. And we're speaking the word, So we're all ready to roll, We go into the hospital room, everybody, it's a terrible scene, And so I walk in there going, okay. And they all turn to me and say, Brother Bill, will you pray? Well, I kind of hesitated. And Belinda, of course, knowing me like she knows me, said to her family, I'm just thinking Bill doesn't know what you want to pray. Well, praise the Lord. I trust you enjoyed this message. This is just the first part. We're going to continue this next time on the Netcast. So join us for that. And you can also join us on speakfaith.tv. This very Netcast airs on speakfaith.tv, both on the Roku channel on demand and also live every night at 7:30 in the evening on our live streaming channel, which is sftv.io. You can find out more about that at this address, which is speakfaith.tv, but I encourage you to check that out. You can also check out our website, which is speakfaith.org. Take the two words, speak, faith, run them together, speakfaith.org, and you can join us there. Now, you can write us at our email address. I want to put that up because the email address, you can write me and get an answer quickly to any questions or anything that you want to talk about. We could talk about via email. And if you want to send a contribution or a check or anything like that, you could send it to our physical address, which is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213-5213, High Point, North Carolina. And that zip code is 27262. And anytime you want to send to that address, that would be awesome. You can also go to our website again that I mentioned, our speakfaith.org website. There's a donate to the ministry button there. You can also become a partner with the ministry right there on the website. So you could do that as well. I'm sure glad you joined us for this netcast. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Speak Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.